You are tuned to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. This morning, hundreds of thousands of more essential workers are now eligible to sign up for the vaccines. Kaiser Permanente reports that its phone lines are seeing a heavy volume of calls. Queen says they're focused on those 65 and older and those with chronic diseases. It expects to hear more about when other categories of essential workers can book appointments. The Hotel Workers Union says it's been told not to expect to book appointments until March 30th. We talked to Hilton Rathel of the Healthcare Association of Hawaii about the process following the announcement by state health officials last week to expand the group. Also last week, we learned the military was making the vaccine available to dependents 16 and older. We wondered if perhaps any of the supply provided to the Department of Defense and the Veterans Association could be shared with the general population here in the islands. In some states, caregivers of vets are being offered the vaccines. Here's Hilton Rathel.
That is possible. I don't know that definitively, but I do know in Alaska, for example, that, you know, Alaska being having Native Alaskans with their own supply, that when all the Native Alaskans got vaccinated, their clinics, the Native Alaskan health clinics, they actually then started vaccinating the general public. So I know it happened in Alaska. I don't know definitively that it could happen in Hawaii, but it may happen. But I'm not sure exactly how that allocation works in terms of, you know, for the military. And the VA also, they have their own separate supply. So Native Americans, American Indians or Native Americans, they get their own supply. Native Alaskans got their own supply. Military got their own supply, and VA got their own supply. So there are different distribution streams across the country.
Clarification, so just Native peoples of those areas? I mean, what about Native Hawaiians in Hawaii?
They do not have a unique designation. They're not recognized at a federal level.
As a tribe or that kind of thing? Gotcha. Okay. How are we doing on test kits? You know, we know that the state bought a test that expire in March. How is that getting used? But how are we doing on PCR tests? What's your understanding?
Well, fortunately, there is a very, very low incidence of COVID in the state, which means that there are a lot less people being tested than what there used to be. So that's good news from that perspective. So there are plenty of tests around right now. There's all sorts of different tests around. And as you said, we did get some pretty significant allocations going back a few months. A number of those kits have been used. You know, we are still testing people. You know, people are going to hospitals, for example. Everyone gets tested. There are people who want to travel. They need to get tested. But people are not being tested at anywhere near the rate that they were. So overall, there are no issues. I mean, if anyone needs to get tested, there are plenty of test kits around, which is good news. And it's even possible, as you just mentioned, that some of these test kits which we have will expire and will probably not then be used. Now, the fact that they have an expiration date, it's like, you know, some food items or other items, just because there's an expiration date doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it's actually expired. It's just what it's been tested for. But because there are plenty of test kits around, we do not anticipate that anyone would be using expired test kits. There is plenty of test kits to go around for people who do need to be tested.
The wrinkle with the variants, I mean, we just have a better shot at keeping the numbers low, though, as more and more people get vaccinated, you know, even with it being more contagious.
Yeah, the variants are still a huge concern and will be for a long time. And one of the reasons is because there's a number of variants out there. And while there's some preliminary work done by the major manufacturers, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, even though AstraZeneca is not approved in the U.S., it is approved in other countries, those manufacturers are testing their vaccines against these variants. But it takes a while to do these tests, you know, to test enough people in a population, and then you've got to monitor them for a period of time after you do the test. So it's going to be a while before we have really strong evidence about how good these vaccines are or are not. Now, one of the other things that's going on is that right now the vaccines are only tested for Moderna. It's 18 and above, Pfizer is 16 and above. So Moderna and Pfizer have started doing trials on children. That's going to take a while. These variant tests are going to take a while. It may be that with the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, for example, people who have had that vaccine may need to get a booster shot 6 months from now, 9 months from now, whatever, if it is demonstrated that the original vaccine is not as effective against some of these strains or variants as we hope. We don't know yet if that's going to happen or not happen, or going to be necessary or not necessary, simply because not enough time has gone past, just like we don't know how long the immunity lasts from these vaccines, because the COVID virus has only been around for just over a year now. Still a lot of unknowns. So the variants are a real concern because some of them are much more easily transmittable than the original vaccine. Some of them are more deadly than the original virus. And so it's still a lot to be learned about them. But the more people that get vaccinated, the less opportunity there is for COVID to spread and the less opportunity there is for these variants to take hold in the community. You know, our message is, you know, we've got three different choices right now, or soon we'll have more Johnson & Johnson, so there will be three choices. AstraZeneca is going to go for emergency use authorization probably within the next month, so by May we may even have four different shots available. And our messaging is, if you can get an appointment for a shot, doesn't matter whether it's Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer or Moderna right now, or AstraZeneca, assuming that gets approved, you know, people should take the opportunity to get vaccinated so that we can, again, protect ourselves, protect our friends, protect our neighbors, protect our coworkers, and get back to a more normal life.
And wear a mask still.
Yeah, for right now, we still need to wear a mask, because while we've got almost 500,000 people with at least one shot, they're not fully vaccinated and they don't get full immunity until they get the second shot. So we only have about, you know, 150,000 roughly that have both first and second shots in the state of Hawaii. So that number needs to get a lot higher before we can really relax, you know, the social gathering,
right,
the mask wearing,
and
things like
that. And do
like
you
that.
Know, you know, with the trials, the folks that participated in the early trials, because some got placebos and some got the real thing, did they ever get the real vaccine, or did they just have to keep those control cases kind of going?
No, actually, the reason I know that is actually because my wife was in one of the trials and she ended up getting the placebo, which she didn't find out till the end of the trial. But anyone who was in a trial does get access to the vaccine, and so they get, so my wife, for example, has now been immunized because she participated in the trial.
Gotcha. So it just depended on when that trial ended.
Yeah, it just depends on when the trial ended. There's a period of 2 to 3 months after you get the second shot that they were monitoring reactions for.
Right. Okay, interesting. And then we talked to the Guard. They said they're prepared to help with these mass vaccination sites. They haven't been called yet. Are there any discussions about that?
Well, right now, because of the limited supply of the vaccine, our mass vaccination sites are only operating about 50 to 60% capacity. Mm. So we have a lot of capacity yet.
Gotcha.
Before we need to add additional sites. Now, we do have plans. There has been plans for a while to add more sites, but it doesn't make sense to add sites when we can't even max out the capacity at our existing sites.
Okay.
So we're making sure that everyone across the state on all the different islands are getting vaccinated. You may have seen the news that we are doing a concerted effort to get all of Lanai and all of Molokai vaccinated. They'll all be vaccinated sometime, probably by early to mid-April, the entire islands. And we've got mobile vans going out to the communities. We've got our pharmacy partners going out into community care homes, foster homes. We've got teams that are going to be going out to public housing areas and some of those high-risk areas. So there are a variety of initiatives across the state to get to our most vulnerable populations. We're working with faith-based groups. We're working with community groups. We're working with the, you know, AARP, for example, to get the messaging out. We've got multiple materials in multiple languages, you know, to make it easier for people to read and understand. So there's a lot of initiatives to make sure that we're reaching everyone who is willing to get a vaccine.
That was Hilton Rathel, head of the Healthcare Association of Hawaii, talking about the rollout of this latest very large group of people now eligible to sign up for vaccines.